we have 100 good ideas in our mind for every one that's actually any good at all.
It has potential to get some legs and, you know, find a market, have a market, right? It's a brilliant idea, but
even though I'm not an expert on marketing itself, I can give you an example, which actually kind of illustrates that I'm not an expert in marketing. But I can give you an example from my own experience about how important this is. Because I think a lot of businesses try to think for their customers, right? And that's a really good way to mess things up, is to try to think for them.
No, it's much better to have a relationship with them and communicate with them and find out where they're at.
All right, welcome back to View from Above with Garrett Lill and my esteemed partner, John Berger. Altus Wealth Solutions in San Luis Obispo, California, where it is a nice, brisk 108 degrees today, you said. That is
technically and slow, it's going to be just under 100. Where I am in North County, 108 is our expected high.
It's funny, you know, when I was a kid, I always hear, you know, old men talk about the weather, and the older I get, the more I start to notice, even on my shows like this, when I have a show with somebody out of town, I bring up the weather. So I've almost been making a conscious effort not to bring up the weather at the beginning of a show, just because I'm starting to feel like an old man. But when you tell me it's 108, like I can't help myself. I don't have much of my instincts take over. So we've talked about in the last couple of shows the importance of, I don't even necessarily, we talked about a lot of things in the last couple of shows, but really the importance of kind of staying true to your core values. First of all, knowing what your core values are and establishing those core values. And then once you've established them, making sure you actually live by them. I don't know if we're adding a step or if we're going back and reinserting a step that we kind of forgot to cover before, but then there's also how you communicate those values as well. So there's what you do, what you say you do, and then how you decide what you do, right? Like how you decide what you do is sort of establishing your core values. What are the distinctions of a business that I think separates me? Then how you do them is the actual going out and executing the things that you intended to do and how well you do that. But then you also have to communicate that, otherwise you won't have any customers to do it for. So they all kind of tie together. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the hub of that wheel. I love these shows once in a while where we have a good conversation going, and I kind of realized we better start hitting record because we had some good stuff going and we weren't recording yet. So I know we've got a lot to talk about on this topic.
Yeah, it's who you are, what you do, and what you say you do, and they all need to be in alignment in order for you to have the optimum success as a business.
And I don't think, I mean, my just quick take on that, I mean, I don't even think you can rank those. I mean, they're all equally important. If you are saying the right thing and claiming to do the right thing, but well, if you have the wrong idea in mind, you know, if your business objective, your core values are wrong, it doesn't matter. You can communicate that perfectly and even do that perfectly, but it's still a bad value. If your core value is selling $75 cheeseburgers, you're just not going to go very far. It's a bad idea. If you're promising 99-cent cheeseburgers and selling $12 cheeseburgers, it's not going to go.
Still not going to work very well, is it?
And if you're selling 99-cent cheeseburgers and nobody knows about it because you've not communicated it to them, then that's not going to matter either. From your experiences, though, have you seen one that business owners struggle with more than another? Is it finding out what to do, figuring out how to do it, or figuring out how to tell it that business owners struggle with more?
That's a great question. So business owners, entrepreneurs tend to have no problem coming up with ideas right now. The quality of the idea, the tractability of the idea.
Yeah, we touched on that before. We have 100 good ideas in our mind for every one that's actually any good at all.
That has potential to get some legs and, you know, find a market, have a market, right? It's a brilliant idea, but I suppose even the $75 burger idea, cheeseburger idea, potentially there's an audience for $75 cheeseburgers. Whether or not that audience is big enough to build a business on, that's a different academic question. Usually not one that I spend a whole lot of time trying to work out with business owners as a coach. The question is, you know, what is your idea? How well fleshed out is it? Is there a market for that idea? And then how are we communicating that idea out to find that market so we can find the customers that we're thinking we're supposed to have, right? And there's so many pieces to that puzzle. But I think the one that the business owners struggle with the most, it's just really understanding and being able to express what the values are that created this idea in the first place. So $75 cheeseburger, to use a sort of weird example, again, it has a market. There are people who will pay $75 for a cheeseburger, but what are the values that are that drive that market? What are the values that drive that those customers? What are the values that would drive a business to want to deliver $75 cheeseburgers to the appropriate customer, right? What is the value, the mechanism that's there? And I think that's really the area that the disconnect for a lot of business owners is, not to use something really weird, but, you know, I want to create this product. I want to create this service. And I know there's a market for this product or service that's out there. What are the values that that market holds dear, that I hold dear, that makes me want to create this business for that market? And what are the values that I would have as a business service or product provider that those people, that it is in alignment with those people? There are values that are associated with it, whether it's creating an elite experience, whether it's creating, a cosmic value. I don't know what it is, but there's a value that's associated with there, not just saying, oh, you know, what I really want to do is figure out how to take something that cost me $2 and charge people $75 for it. There's a value proposition in there, but there's not a value, an innate, what's important to me value that is in there, right? Making money is not a value. Making big bucks, huge spread in profit, that is not a value. That's just I like to make a lot of money. So I got to figure out how to find a customer that's willing to pay me $75 for something that cost me $2 to produce. Or at least $2 in costs. And then you have the labor costs associated with that, right? So that's not really a value. A value is more of a line to what's really important to me. What do I think is intrinsically important as a human being to put out there or create a business around that I can get other people to say, yes, I want to be a part of this? That's a value. And I think that's really the area where a lot of business owners struggle in identifying, well, what is that? You know, why I'm so passionate about putting that out there? That is really the disconnect that I see a lot of. And then even if you have the customer that will pay the $75 for the $2 worth of meat, because you bought the absolute best quality meat possible, right? Who is that customer? What are their values that would make them want your product or service? And there has to be an alignment in those values. You have to be putting something out there that they say, oh, yeah, that resonates with me. That's really what I want to do. Some examples might be like, you know, Tom's Shoes, right? So what they do is they always give away shoes to people who don't have them. And the nice thing is that their shoes are not cheap, by the way, right? And buying them makes the right person feel good, because the value proposition is not that you're buying cheap shoes. The value proposition is we're helping people put shoes on people who can't afford to have them. And you're helping to support that value by you buying shoes from us. And we happen to, by the way, have really great shoes at reasonable valuations, reasonable costs. And you get to be a part of this ecosystem where our values, which is taking care of people who don't have shoes, is number one. And that's our focus. So, and they communicate that focus really, really, really well. That's why they've been successful. And I like to use them as an example, because that it points out the underlying value is not we're making big profit. The underlying value is we're doing something bigger than just selling shoes to you.
Well, I think that all starts with, I mean, it's a very cliche phrase, but it starts with knowing your customer and then making sure that you're aligning your message. I mean, I think this show is maybe a little bit more of a marketing tilted show. At the same time, I don't want to get so off in the weeds on the marketing to make it sound like I'm telling the viewer or the listener how to market their business, because frankly, I don't know your business and I don't know your customer. But you need to know that, or your marketing team needs to know that, so that you can make sure you communicate that properly. And even though I'm not an expert on marketing itself, I can give you an example, which actually kind of illustrates that I'm not an expert in marketing, but I can give you an example from my own experience about how important this is. So I've learned over, you know, the last 3, 4, 5 months, a year, 2 years, whatever, that one of the competitive advantages that I have in the marketplace is that I understand 100% in most cases how the advisor is thinking. I've been in their shoes. I do resonate. I have that empathy, so to speak. And then what I catch myself doing sometimes is taking what I know about my audience and then trying to run it through a marketing best practices filter that is basically telling me how I'm supposed to market to the masses. And then I put something out there and then lo and behold, financial advisors don't like it. And why is that? I give you a really good reason why that is. Financial advisors are really, really good at spotting BS. And when you put things through that marketing filter, they spot that BS and they click off of you before you ever get to the message because they spotted the, I don't know, the fly in the ointment or whatever from the beginning of the process. When I finally reached a point where I was so frustrated with my marketing efforts that I just said, you know what, the heck with it. I'm going to hit record and tell the truth and just see what comes out. I'm just going to, honestly, I was having so many Zoom calls and so many virtual calls with advisors. The calls themselves went great that I finally just said, okay, I'm just going to hit record and pretend somebody else is on the other side and tell them what I'm telling, you know, what I'm saying on these calls. They're not flashy. There's nothing special about them. It's just a conversation to an iPhone that I put out on the internet, and, you know, in that case. But finally being true to the values of my audience starts to get a little bit of traction, and I start to see that more and more and more. But now I understand that's a little bit, and this is why I want to be a little bit careful not to go down too far, you know, down that rabbit hole, because I'm talking about my marketing where it's literally me and an iPhone, right? You may have viewers out there may have a marketing department of 50 people and advertisers and a lot of different things, and they may be doing focus groups and a lot of different things to gather that data. But whatever it is, if you don't know who your audience is, it's going to be really, really hard to craft either, right? It's going to be really hard to craft a mission statement of, okay, what is it I need to do that they're going to like? And then also, how am I going to communicate it?
I'll take that one step further. I think if you don't know your audience and you don't know their value system and speak to that, you're shouting from a pulpit, but to nobody, or at least nobody in specific. It's not very targeted. You know, this is one of the reasons why a lot of times business owners should be encouraged to do a few things really, really well and not try to be, you know, the jack of all trades and do a gazillion different things. You know, you got your business, whatever your business is, make sure you do a few things really, really, really well and speak to the people for whom doing those things really, really well means something, right? And then if you do that, you'll have great success. You'll have much better success than if you try to do 10 things decently. And you say, well, 90% of the public should appreciate one of those 10 things that I do really well, right? And maybe it will, but you're just not hitting home. You're not hitting right here with those clients. And so they'll move with any number of incentives, whether it's a lower price, somebody who speaks just a little bit more to their core, whether it could be, or just inconvenience. You're not in the exact right spot. You have to have so many things that are right that you don't have a control over, by the way, if you are trying to speak to the masses. But if you speak to a few people who are your tribe, who are the people who your message, your values really resonate with, boy, they're going to stick with you through thick and through thin. And so it's not an absolute, right? So you can't say if you do it this way, it's going to be perfect. If you do it this way, it's going to suck. And it's a spectrum. And you want to just keep moving in that direction of getting to the people who your message really resonates with and practicing that, which is, again, what I go back to is I just think that you got to know your audience, but you really got to know what the real believers in your audience are going to say. Oh, that just hits me here. I want to go spend my money with these people because they are just, they're like friends. They're like family. They're like my tribe. I want to be with them.
How much do you think, I mean, this is kind of the direction we've been heading with this, but how much do you think businesses and especially small business owners get themselves in trouble or cost themselves business by trying to be everything to everyone? Two different quotes that I've heard from marketing professionals that I do think kind of ring somewhat true. Maybe the first one a little bit less than the second one, but I've heard the phrase or the term riches in the niches, right? That you find a niche that you are particularly good at. I mean, and it can, and honestly, almost to the extent that, like, the more specific you can make that niche, the better. I mean, if you can be the, if you can figure out how to sell $75 cheeseburgers, okay, great. If you can figure out how to really connect well with people who like $75 cheeseburgers, who like to play this particular sport or like to listen to this type of music or like to, you know, you can start to zero in on specific niches within, you know, the demographics or with other common interests, then you're going to have more success. I think there's some truth to that, but at the same time, you know, certainly Walmart has made a pretty good name for themselves selling to a pretty broad and diverse audience as well. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be that way. But one thing that I do think is some of the simplest and soundest advice I've heard from a marketer is don't bother trying to communicate a message to the ones who are going to say no. Sell to the people who are going to say yes, right? There's no reason to go out there and try to create a marketing ad to convince somebody to stop spending $6 on a mediocre cheeseburger and start springing for the $75 cheeseburger. Yeah. Figure out who is going to be saying yes to you. And just talk to them. Don't bother trying to make everybody like your brand. That's never going to happen.
Yep, that, and exactly it. I mean, even Walmart, they didn't speak to everybody. Even when they started, Sam Walton was really speaking to the people who wanted a certain level of value, you know, wanted to get, make sure that they had the lowest price. But you still, when you went into Walmart stores, and even today, they continue to try to do it, although they're bigger, so it's a lot more difficult to do. They wanted you to feel like you were well cared for and they cared about you as a customer. And it, you didn't have to be, you didn't want to be rich going into a Walmart because that was, no, that's Wally World. That's not for us, right? But the people that they wanted to speak to, they spoke to and they delivered to those people, those customers in a way that nobody else could and nobody else did.
Excellent example of that. If there has ever been, and we didn't mean to do this, but if there was ever a great example of what kind of we're talking about, Walmart would have absolutely zero success trying to sell $75 cheeseburgers with their snack stands. You know what I mean? Like that's a perfect example of how to screw that up because you have to know Walmart tends to lean a little bit more towards the value-based shopper, where a $75 cheeseburger is an extreme example of the opposite. But I think there are, you know, less obvious examples of that all over the place, right? Where people do the same type of thing. They sell a product that they like without really paying attention to who their customer is or like to think for their customers. I think a lot of businesses try to think for their customers, right? And that's a really good way to mess things up, is to try to think for them.
No, it's much better to have a relationship with them and communicate with them and find out where they're at and make sure that you're constantly realigning. If they're shifting, maybe you need to shift as well, but never steer clear of your core values, because those are your core values. And, you know, don't let the customers completely redirect the ship, whatever it is. So, you know, trying to encapsulate this down to just some basic thoughts. First, I think the biggest struggle for a lot of business owners is being able to identify what their core values are. Truly, the values, the things that are most important to you as a business that other people will resonate with, right? And really identifying what those are. And then the next step and the next biggest challenge is, now that you know who you are and what you stand for, which is my frame for calling your values, who you are and what you stand for, being able to communicate that consistently and succinctly to others. So you can find that, for lack of a better term, that tribe that those values resonates with. Those are the people who are going to want to buy from you. And then all you have to do is convince them. You say, here it is. We align. This is what you want. Those are the ones. You're not convincing them to not buy something else and instead buy you. You're just putting it out there. This is who we are. This is what we stand for. This is what we have. This is our product or service. And this is how it aligns with who we are and what we stand for. You want to buy it. You know, Simon Sinek did a lot of that stuff as well. But I think the hardest part for business owners is first becoming clear about who you are and what you stand for. And then secondly, all right, what words do I have to use that communicate that clearly and succinctly? Because you only have like 11 seconds.
I think 11 seconds is long. I've heard three.
Yeah, you really only have three. But ideally, if you can get it in the first five words, right?
Yeah.
Then it's best. But and I spend a lot of time with clients when we're doing marketing message makeovers, on trying to crystallize that message, that marketing message, down to 11 words, which I think you can say in 3 seconds.
It's not a static decision or state of being, right? It's something that is always going to be changing, and they really can shift a little bit without you meaning for it to where your marketing may not change. And you're not really paying attention to the fact that your actual delivery has changed, maybe for a good reason. Maybe you've adapted your delivery a little bit or adapted your product for the marketplace, but you're still using the same marketing, or vice versa. You may be telling a new message that you haven't changed the product to keep up with that. So how do you have, I mean, just a couple of minutes to kind of elaborate on that point a little bit from what you've seen.
Everything is fluid, right? Life is nothing static. And yes, the second you put anything into, this is the rule and we're going to follow this forever and it's going to be the one that gets us to wherever we go, that's doomed. That's doomed to failure, because life is full of bob and weave and adjust and pivot and shift with the tides. Because especially with preferences and human nature, people are constantly in evolution. Your customers are constantly in evolution. Even the whole concept of values, they think they know who they are, but things change in their life and then all of a sudden they go, oh, I wonder if I really, do I really, is that really a core value? So few people really spend time just trying to dive down into the real nuts and bolts, the almost Buddhist aspect of their core values. We just don't do that as human beings, certainly as Americans, we don't do that a whole lot. And life is full of things that may change that even. You may even say, oh, I thought this was really important to me, but I've been doing this for 5 years and I'm really thinking it's not so important. This over here is maybe more important to me. And so life is full of that evolution and shift, and your business is going to constantly be evolving. So I don't think that, oh, these are our 11 words or whatever it is. This is my marketing message and I'm just going to keep putting it out there. Maybe it works for 1 year. Maybe it works for 10 years. Maybe it does work for 30 years. And if you're going to change it, you do want to make sure you're being extremely intentional about what that is. And you came up with this phrase, and it worked for a reason. Why did it work? You know, what, does it resonate? Is the world in which you're working in, is it shifting? Are preferences shifting? And if they are, is there something that maybe needs to be tweaked or adjusted? Or are you shifting your language, but you kind of have shifted away from what you originally started with? And is that still working? And if it is, great. If it's not, if you think, well, you know, the message originally worked great, now it's not. It seems like we're not getting the same traction we used to get. Well, are you actually using the same message you were using before? Or did we morph? And maybe it's the morphing that you morphed in a direction that wasn't intentional, but you did. And maybe that's good or maybe it's not. So it's a constant evolution. I always tell clients, it doesn't matter where you are, whether it's marketing, whether it's, you know, your operations, your systems, your processes, or whether it's your finances, all those various pieces of your business are still always a work in progress. And you want to go back and assess and reassess and reevaluate and track back to some kind of standard, some kind of benchmark to be sure whatever you think you're doing is still what you should be doing.
100%, man. Well, John, thank you as always. Always enjoy the conversations and always a blast. So I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, bud. And business owners out there who would like to chat with John, I think he's obviously got a lot of insights and has worked with a lot of folks. So I will put his information in the description below. There'll be a link to the Wealth Partners website with a contact form if you'd like to reach out. We can get you connected, or just head over to AltusWealth.com and explore John for yourself. John's a great dude, knows his stuff, and would love to chat with you. So appreciate you.
Thank you.